The window was designed by Richard Kemmer, the same person that designed the Village Center ceiling. And when I took the assignment, it was to do this song for the opening worship service when the window was to be dedicated. And so I tried to figure out where I would find the time to write such a song. And I was down in Los Angeles for a conference, and I was flying out of Alaska, coming home, and there was a call for anybody who'd like to give up their ticket. And I said, okay, I'll give up my ticket. And I waited 4 more hours, and I took off and got a free ticket. Anywhere Alaska flies. And of course, since I've never been to Alaska, a year later, I didn't think about it, but I wanted to go there, but time was running out. There was about three months left on my ticket. And I was over at one of the parishioners. I work at University Lutheran Church as an associate in ministry. And I had the boldness to ask this one of the ladies there that I knew. I knew her mother lived in Kodiak, and I said, do you think your mother would like a visitor? And she said, sure, I'll call her right now. And she always liked that. So I made my reservations and flew up to Alaska. And at Ginny's house, she doesn't even live there anymore, in Alaska, in her spare bedroom where I was staying, I sat on the bed and I began playing this wonderful tune. And I because tunes usually come before my words do, but I got that wonderful tune, and then I said, okay, now that's the tune for the window, and now I write the words. So I wrote the words soon after I did the tune and put them together. And it was great. It was a great way to get away from my job and to produce something, create something that was done at leisure. Because I can remember from this song our images of mountains flying into Anchorage, the beautiful mountain ranges that you see up in the airplane, and Kodiak, which is golden brown in October, and deep, deep blue sea, and very quiet, a place where everybody leaves their houses open and their cars unlocked, and a very small fishing village of Kodiak, Alaska. And I had a chance to use a car there and get around, and it was just very relaxing. And just kind of like Holden, you're here to get away, to reflect. There's two things that I want you to listen to today and kind of ponder, not that you get them in your head and say, now I know it. But one is to hold things loosely. Whatever it is in your life that you hold, hold it loosely. When I went to Kodiak, I did hold it loosely. And when you do that, you not only open yourselves to God, but to the creativity that's inside you and what it is God wants you to do in this life. And that's what this is about. This session is about examining what your life is about and finding those moments in your life where you are most grateful to God. Most grateful. And also finding those moments that happen in your life that you are least grateful for. You get really upset, you fly off the handle or whatever it is. Those two moments are what the examine is for. And Ignatius Loyola has those as the most important things. If you're going to not pray at all, those two moments of the day are the most important to remember. So, the song we can sing together, and it's a way of looking at God is always here, and we don't know it. A number of days ago, we saw a little girl say, I'm here. I'm here. Don't you notice me? We had a 7-year-old girl who took the part of the little queen on the wilderness story and was always saying, I'm here, I'm here. And this story, of course, comes from Jacob falling asleep waking up and having a stone under his head as a pillow and seeing angels come down and go up. And he woke up saying, surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. But before that, he was running from Esau. He was running for his life. He was in deep doo-doo, right? And he stopped to rest and he realized God is in this place. So sing it with me. The chorus goes a little bit different than the main verse, and what people have a tendency to do is sing the chorus the same way. So listen to that, or if you know notes, notice the notes.
You were always in this place, and I did not know it.
Most grateful for changes in our generation, you know. what a little child is most grateful for is much different than an older person. And it gets us into trouble as parents because we can't go back to where our children once were. And it creates problems. But in the sharing of what's most grateful and what's least grateful, we get to know one another's worlds. And that's what this is all about, this session is all about. Sleeping with Bread is a little book that's in the bookstore. I think it's still there, because it's not sold out. It's called Sleeping with Bread, and this is a story that comes from this book. During the bombing raids, World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in refugee camps, where they received food and good care. But many of these children who had lost so much could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them. Finally, someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." So here's the picture, and the wonderful little pictures of kids holding bread. And the author of this book is Dennis Lynn, Sheila Fabricant Lynn, and Matthew Lynn, three people. They have another book called Good Goats that's in the store, which is very good too. They're very short. That's what I like about them. If any of you would sleep with Fred is a question, what would it be? What would make you feel much more secure about today and tomorrow? Is there any, let's just throw it out there. What would you sleep with?
Safety for my children. I don't know how you...
The reassurance that your children will be safe.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the authors would say that sleeping with bread for us, older people, is sleeping with the gratefulness of God's rich blessings to us, which are into who we really are at our core. It's not something that, one is life, life is one thing after another, but something that we are grateful for. For me, it's music, probably art and people, because people are very important to me. I work with them in a congregation, and I try to lift them up. So that's, when I sleep with those thoughts before I go to bed, I can wake up grateful. That's what the authors say. And I guess I haven't tested it out completely, but it does seem to make sense. Sometimes if you're grouchy, and before I go to sleep, I do my prayer time, because I've never found another time that was as good as that time. There's another story here in the book. This is a great story. One of the people wrote this story, Dennis. I first discovered the power of the two questions 25 years ago when I taught on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservations. Two questions are, what am I most grateful for? What am I least grateful for? I had just moved into a housing project and I decided to risk something new, inviting guests to a meal. I invited 8 of my students to dinner. Since the most common meal on the reservation is soup, I spent the morning boiling soup bones. Then I added a cupful of rice. It seemed to disappear. The same thing happened when I added the entire box of rice, not knowing that the rice expands as it cooks. I went to 4 different neighbors and collected about 2 more boxfuls of rice. Unfortunately for me, Sioux are very generous and give without asking any questions. With 3 boxes of rice in the kettle, I hoped I would have enough to feed 8 hungry students if I first filled them up with plenty of bread. Questioning the wisdom of inviting so many people for dinner, I left the soup on the stove to simmer and headed over to the school for class. When I returned home with the students, the rice met us at the front door. The inside of my house looked as though a foot of snow had fallen. While some students stayed to help me shovel rice, others headed out to invite their families and friends to help us eat it. Instead of 8 Sioux students that night, I fed most of the inhabitants of the reservation, dogs included. The meal made such a lasting impression that this past year, when we gave a retreat on the same reservation, the most common question I heard was, "Dennis, you got any more rice soup?" I remember the rice soup not just because it launched my cooking career, but also because it began a spiritual practice that is still fundamental to my life. That evening after dinner, not only my students, but also some of their parents, younger brothers and sisters, and other teachers stayed. I was so moved by their presence that I forgot the format of the prayer service I had planned, and instead of simply shared what I felt. Lighting a candle to help me get centered, I told the group I had not felt grateful for the rice that met me at the door when I arrived home, but I was deeply grateful that people of every age were meeting in my home to feast on rice and to pray. Others began to share their own moments of least gratitude and most gratitude from the day, each one lighting a candle as he or she spoke. God's will is generally for us to do more of whatever we most grateful are, what we are most grateful for, or whatever gives us most life. That evening gave us all so much life that during the rest of my time on the reservation, I cooked dinner every Friday. I stayed away from the rice, and I invited my Sioux students to come and eat, light a candle, and share these two questions. Today, the three of us, and most evenings, sharing these same two questions. We have given retreats in over 40 countries, and we find that for people to find directions for their lives. 25 years later, the impact of the rice soup endures as every Sunday, a group of faithful friends gathers in our home for dinner. We each light a candle and share our responses to those two questions. Which day we gather people and the meal, thank God, have changed since I've left the reservation, but the questions have not. That's the story. So what does sleeping with bread have to do with the exam? And I kind of answered that. I want to take you through a little exam process here, and it'll take maybe 5 minutes. And then I want you to find somebody next to you to share. One other person, maybe somebody you don't know, but it could be somebody you know, it doesn't matter. These two questions that you dwell on. So I'll go through it, and then I'll play for about 5 minutes music so you can think about it, and then I'll stop and you can share it. You may wish to light a candle. We don't do that at Holden, but you do. I do at home. Do whatever helps you to experience unconditional love. For example, imagine yourself in a favorite place with someone whose love you trust, such as a friend, Jesus, or God, as you understand God. Put your feet flat on the floor. Take a few breaths from the bottom of your toes, up through your legs, your abdominal muscles, and your chest. Breathe in that unconditional love, and when you breathe out, fill the space around you with it. Place your hand on your heart and ask Jesus or God, as you understand God, to bring to your heart the moment today of which you are most grateful. If you could relive one moment, which would it be? When were you most able to give and receive love today? Ask yourself what was said and done in that moment that made it so special. Breathe in the gratitude you felt and receive life again from that moment. Ask God to bring to your heart the moment today for which you are least grateful. When were you least able to give and receive love? Ask yourself what was said and done in that moment that made it so difficult. Be with whatever you feel without trying to change or fix it in any way. You may wish to take deep breaths and let God's love fill you just as you are. Give thanks for whatever you have experienced. If possible, share as much as you wish of these two moments with a friend. writing up. An expressive, I see all kinds of wonderful interactions going on. That simple two questions. And you can see the possibilities of it. Question, who found it easier to do the question, what you were most grateful for? Raise your hands. Okay, we're the optimists, right? who found it easier is least grateful? Okay, probably more of us. It's going to change some days. Boy, you know, you're right up there for for the least grateful. But for holding it was, for me, a little hard to think of. least grateful. Because I woke up feeling pretty good and... The only one that was a little difficult, the time that I remember getting a little impatient was I had an extra long spiritual direction session and I was drifting off a little bit. So I was least grateful for that. But other than that, the most grateful was to be reunited with a friend up here who is actually a God father of our children, our twins. And they have him listen to what I say and to receive it and in a wonderful way. And so that was probably the greatest thing to be most grateful for. How about the rest of you? I think there was a few more that least grateful was a little bit more difficult, weren't there? No? Most grateful was easier?
Okay. Equal.
Okay.
They were both difficult.
Yeah.
Trying to
distinguish
one something from something else.
Yeah. They could be both difficult, right? Anybody else have that? Both difficult questions or no? Mm-hmm. How was the process of doing this? Was it easy to do? Did you have it immediately, or did you have to kind of... My process is to kind of look at my day like a videotape and go back through it. I'm a visual person, so I can do that. What was it like for you?
I think it's hard because you... In some ways, you think the most grateful, it's got to be some big, grand, happy thing or something. And it really, it's hard, you know, when it's just a really nice day. But nothing like, oh, this was wonderful, and this, you know, just to then pick something, that made it hard for me, I think, or is kind of, you sort of expect a big high or a big low, but it reminds
hold loosely? that's the key here, because some of the most very small things could be some of the most grateful time of your day, because it gets you in touch with your whole spirit, and you say, oh, I noticed that chipmunk or something like that. It could be something as small as that, but you would just accept that as what was most grateful. And the least grateful could be something very odd too, you know? Your coffee tasted weak or something like that. I don't know. Or your hat. Yeah.
Or breakfast.
Or breakfast. Yeah, more breakfast. Lori said we got to have French toast or pancakes today. So she probably got that as the least favorite. What else? What other experiences did you have? Did the music help? Did it take a while to get to that point where you say, aha, this is it?
Just kind of drifted in.
Drifted in.
I mean, when I tried to think of what it was, there was nothing there. But having just music or basically no mental activity, eventually something came through saying, oh yeah, you know, that was... So, I mean, that was, but I had the same experience. It was hard to figure out what the most grateful moment was because there's so many of them. You know, I mean, this was really cool. I mean, even though the little things, but the daily activity, you know, this is nice, that was cool. So it was hard to say, well, which is the real one? What's the real
one? The
least favorite was pretty obvious.
You can kind of approach it as a law. You know, like, I got to find the greatest part of my day. Really hard. That, in some ways, that shows us, what would that show us about ourselves?
What I have trouble with is it's like, well, is this really the greatest moment I had all day? Shouldn't there have been a better moment? it's like, isn't good enough? There's got to be a better moment in there somewhere. Keep looking, you know.
And
it's like kind of, for me, I try to always live in that place where there is no value judgment to that. It is what it is. You know, it's real. It's right now. And if it's real and nobody's being hurt, that's a good thing, you know. So that's kind of the problem. What's your greatest moment of the day or your most thankful moment? Oh, okay. Is this it? Or can I do better?
Okay. Let me interrupt here with another story from St. Ignatius. St. Ignatius is a Catholic saint. And the story is that he fought a battle in Spain. And he was kind of a person that was always looking to be not only courageous in battle, but be the ladies' man and do all the things that would really create a lot of attention back to him. And he was in a battle, and he got his leg blown off. And he was sent to a hospital, and he had a long time to recuperate from that injury. And they put his leg back together, and they say they put it back together and he wasn't satisfied with it, so they had to break it again and do it right. But anyways, he was unable to do anything, being in bed except for reading, and they gave him two books. One was of the knights of old and their adventures and all the things they did. And when he read that book, he just felt very excited and energized, and he just wanted to be more like these people. For example, I hear classical guitarists, like the other night, and I say, gosh, if I just study for another 8 years, I'd be there, you know? And then people would even, you know, like me even more, you know? he also got a book about Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and he read that. He kept reading about the disciples and the parables and everything else. He got very excited also, and he said, you know, and he started reading about St. Paul. He said, maybe I could be like St. Paul, you know? Maybe I could go out and have these wonderful adventures. Maybe this would be great. He held that excitement. But the excitement of the book about the saints waned. It didn't last. It kind of tapered off. But the excitement about reading about the Gospels just went up. He got more excited. He said, I'd like to be... I've got this wrong. The story of the knights waned, not the saints. Story about the saints, not identity mixed up here. The story of the saints really excited him. Not the Gospels. Sorry. So he wanted to be like St. Francis, or, you know, he really had a goal in mind to emulate these saints. And that kept going up as far as energy. It held with him for a long time. So what is the difference between something that's most grateful? You don't know until you do this as a practice. That's why this is first time today. And you can say, oh, that doesn't mean much because, you know, there's so many things. But if you start to do it for a month and you keep a record of those things that you're most grateful for, you'll probably find what God intends you to do on this earth. You know, what your place is, what your calling is. And the longer you do it, the more clear that is. And the things that you're least grateful for tell you something about your past. Or they also tell you that you don't do that anymore. You stop doing that. You get out of a relationship that's miserable. You don't have any joy. I mean, somebody who's in an abusive relationship, it'd be really hard for them to figure out what they're most grateful for, unless the church could concoct something to tell them a story to make them believe and keep them there. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But it tells you where God is leading you. If you use it as a practice, it's not long, but it is really helpful. So what other ways, the an optimistic person, for an optimistic person, they need to hear more the least grateful parts, or get in touch with their least grateful parts. If you just kind of, who am I? Am I an optimistic person? Well, if I pray this prayer, I'm going to have a more difficult time finding the least grateful parts of my day, right? If I am a pessimist, I'm going to have a greater time finding the things I'm most grateful for. Really, that I'm jumping up and down, I'm excited about. That I really feel a surge of energy. For me, that's music or playing with people. And I play with an old-timey band, and we get together for 2 hours, and it seems like it's just gone like that. And it's playful. It's fun. Somebody was saying, being at Holden here, there's certain people that this person does not get along with. Well, how much time do you spend with these particular people? If you work with them, it's really a problem. Then you have, it's kind of, you're across the bear or whatever else, you make all kinds of things. But what are you going to do is probably find other friends that you do get along with. And enjoy the company that God has given you, certain friends, not everybody, that you can really share with, enjoy. And as Rick was saying here, just let it go. I mean, just accept those moments coming and appreciate them, be grateful for them. For me, when I look at my life, what kind of people do I like? Sometimes it's auto mechanics are really good people. I love auto mechanics for some reason. Carpenters. I have trouble with retail store people. People probably that are CEOs, I wouldn't get along with too much, but if I categorize people, I close myself off too. So it's again, wanting to be still open to people, but knowing and recognizing that this person is not generating energy, and you don't have, and that's what happened in the spiritual direction session. When I think of it now, that was it. That's what was happening to me. And if I would have ended it sooner, I would have received just as much if I went overboard. And I think we do that too. If we find somebody, we don't get along with them, we're trying hard to get along with them, and it doesn't work. So, this little book has many wonderful little ways that you can do this examine, and I'll just go through it a little bit here. When other people want us to tell them what to do, as a spiritual director, I don't usually tell people what to do. I try to find something that might be helpful to them in their prayer life. But I don't tell them what to do. That psychologists do. People are going for therapy. They're expecting, now, try this for 2 weeks, and see if it's better. I don't do that. But a lot of us, if we're well-respected, we get to the point where people ask me, I'm important. They ask me, and I give them advice. Most of the people on top, made it on top, are like this. And they're very lonely because people don't see them for a real person. And it's a trap. So when you listen to somebody's greatest part of the day or most grateful part of the day and least grateful part, and just leave it at that, you get to know them in a special way. And then you do it too. You're not set apart. So occasionally I will be very revealing about my own faith life and prayer life and how it is with me too. So here's some other ways of asking the question. You might think, well, I don't like what moment today was I most grateful or least grateful. I like some other things. Here's some other ones. When did I give and receive the most love today? When was that? When did I give and receive the least love? Just being aware of it. Again, it's a judgment. It's not a judgment, it's a feeling. It's becoming aware of those moments. When did I feel most alive today? Probably not 3:45 in the afternoon, huh? When did I feel life draining out of me? After a hike to Holden Lake, maybe? You just kind of made it back. When today did I have the greatest sense of belonging to myself, others, God, and the universe? When was I connected to everything? When did I have the least sense of belonging? When was I happiest today? When was I saddest today? What was today's high point? What was today's low point? All different questions. In the back of the book here, it talks about questions people asked. I thought this was kind of interesting. If you're, when did you feel compelled to do something because of another person? When did I feel, well, this is a good one. When today did I ask for what I needed? When today did I not ask for what I needed to another person? When today did I do something because I enjoyed it rather than because I should? When today did I do something because I should rather than because I enjoyed it? See, those are all equally the same as grateful and ungrateful, but in a different bent. And you may find one of those suiting you more. Okay, questions. I don't want to, at this point, I can say more. Any questions at this point? What are you? This book also has questions and answers at the end. Very good questions. Wonderful people that are. So, anything that you want to ask?
You said something about the reason we are doing this or would do this is to learn more about where God is leading us.
Right.
That sounds pretty far out. I mean, can you say maybe more about about that? I mean, what should our expectations be, or what does that mean, where God is leading us?
In the job that you have, what is there a delight in the job that you have? Is it a calling? And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. And when a person is discerning to either stay in a job or find something new, if they would say do the exam and for a period of time, they would have a sense of where those, you know, see, if in my job I'm not having those moments of being most grateful, then I'm probably, you kind of discover, well, maybe it's a should. I'm doing this because somewhere in my past, somebody told me to do this, or I can complete every task in this job. I can do this, and then I'm done. And then nobody can get close to me by saying, you didn't do it. And those are little things, but very subtle. God wants for us to do what comes naturally for us to do. That sounds like a very simple question and answer. It's not simple. People struggle with that their whole life. But examine is a way for you to have a way of looking at that. And knowing that God is in that, it's a prayer. It is a holy time that you do this, and it's not much time, but it is, you know, a journaling time. And does that get to it? Giving and receiving the most love could be the question too. Where does that happen? Yeah.
I don't know if this speaks to your question, but mine was when my most grateful came to me immediately, and then it played out, like you said, your visual, as you did the music, we hiked up to Copper Falls, and my son fell in the river, and it was really scary, and then he scrambled out before he fell down the waterfall, and so needless to say, my most grateful was that he was okay, and he's 13 and a half, and as he was sitting there on this rock, shaking, freezing cold, with this really bad hurting knee, and before I did know that he was okay, I was most grateful that I could, like, be his mommy and kiss him on the head and put my hand on his knee and pray for him. And I was just overwhelmed, you know, like replaying the scene in my mind. And then as we walked back down the mountain together, that it did become apparent that he really and truly was going to be okay. And I was just, you know, overwhelmed. And when you said that something about your most grateful eventually tells you where God wants you to be, what that told me is, you know, God wants me to be with my children and to be their mother, even though they're growing up and getting bigger, and which correlates with some work decisions that I've been making in my life recently. So that was how I interpreted what you were saying.
Right. It gets you more in touch with what it really is. It's not kind of a static thing. It's a real love. The things that we, and you, when you talked about that, I could tell you were talking about that because you were so animated. but if you play it out, I mean, this is Holden. It's different than the world out there. I mean, when you do it in the world out there, there's going to be some differences. How can I bring what is Holden into the world, the kingdom of God, of this community into the world, is the question. And most of us go back to the way we used to live life. And how do we change that? Taking a practice and consistently working with it. The other thing I'm doing up here for groups, and if any of you are interested, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'm going with a group of people who would like to use the arts in some way, creative arts, writing, poetry, music, and just work with them for a couple of days so that they get a habit of doing them and then sharing them with one another as a group so that each one of us can respond to what each one does. And we had one group that met, and 36 hours later we met again, and the sharing was just wonderful. It's not a sharing by just saying, oh, it's nice. It's a sharing out of your own experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I sang you the song for Bethel. If I would say, what did that song mean to you, it would be different from each one of you, but it would be a gift back to me, and it would spur more music from me, probably, more energy, and that's how the kind of group it is. So we meet tomorrow, and then we'll find out who's leaving when, and then we meet again to process whatever we choose to do. And I've got lots of good resources if you'd like to start some kind of a practice, and even this practice, and you need some support to do the examining each day for 3 or 4 days and see what you come up with. And even write about, I mean, your situation, that's a story. That's a life story. And he'll grow too. I mean, you might ask him, you know, what, in all that, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You've got some, but if you got a regular time when you do that with your children, in the book it talks about that, that's good. You can do this process, for example, for a movie, for a conversation, mm-hmm. for a whole meal. What is the least great? You know, I mean, it's
beans. It's most of least.
More questions. Some people do it at the end of a year. They travel to meet with friends who they haven't seen for a long time, and they review their year. They get a long time. Each one shares their most grateful part and least grateful part. Usually, a Christmas letter does that too. And if you just share the first question, what was I most grateful for? A lot of our cards that we send at Christmas time are that. You know, I'm thinking of you, I care about you, and whatever other, you know, religious message we put on that is. But these people, we say, do that any time of the year, you know, and share what you're most grateful for that person. And it makes a big difference. A fourth grade teacher was having discipline problems in her class, and she decided that she would have each kid take a name in the hat, and whatever name they got, they would watch for the rest of the week and try to pick out what things they saw that they liked about that person or what they did. They were kind of little watchdogs, and then on Friday they stood up and shared about that other person. They never had any discipline problems after that.
Yeah.
It was just a marvelous, and that was just using the one question, what am I most grateful for? And again, if you feel like you're a very pessimistic person, maybe the assignment is, you know, just find something grateful about the day. A lot of spiritual direction those questions are raised. You know, in the midst of all this, is there anything to be grateful for? In the midst of all this, you know, we get a couple that are going to get married in a month. In the midst of all this joy and love and everything, is there anything that you're least grateful for? You know, you kind of sense where they're at. Some people would do the what they call the final examine. If they're 54, believe, kind of make believe that you're 85 and you're on your deathbed. And what are you most grateful for, and what are you least grateful for, from what you know of your life? That's a final exam, because this is it. And if you had to go back and do it over again, would you do the same thing? You know, that's kind of the final exam. They're all in here. It's a well, I mean, you'll find yourself somewhere. A family could do this and really gain a lot from each other, even like 3-4-year-olds, you know, what is there? And you find out about their world. On the back side of your song are two awareness examines. The daily check-in with Jesus is a little shorter. And the other one, I am drawn by God. It is important how I feel. So for some of us, that's hard to get in touch with. And it may take some ways of doing that. Some people do Tai Chi, exercise, yoga. Some people journal, and they're able to get more in touch with their feelings. Drawing, I draw every day. One thing I didn't bring over here is my sketchbook. But I like drawing. I take pictures of people and then I transfer the picture into a drawing. That's for you. Any other questions? Burning questions? Do you comprehend it? And you can still play around with it with questions. And if you do have questions, just see me for coffee over the dining hall or just catch me. I do have individual sessions with people too, if you'd like to come up and talk about your prayer, your spiritual life, what kind of, that's an easier way for me to suggest some of the things that might be helpful for you, because it's different with everybody. And I've been doing it for 15 years, I thoroughly enjoy it, and being at the Village is even a greater gift, so thanks for coming.
Thank you.